everybody, Bill Buckmaster with you on this, what could be the start of the summer thunderstorm season. And will it happen today? Well, we'll have to see. Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander, Ed producing and engineering our show. And together, Ed and I welcome you to our program for this Wednesday, June the 24th. 2015. We're coming to you live from Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, with live streaming on my website, which is buckmastershow.com, and the station's fine website, kvoi.com. All of our podcasts and our complete show archive available for you 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. And of course, that is a free service, so you can listen to the program anytime, anywhere on your schedule. We will begin with a conversation with our health contributor here on the show, Dr. Victoria Mazes. Then at 12:30, we visit with Cam Juarez. Mr. Juarez is a member of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. The Buckmaster Live line is open for you at 790-2040, and the Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Dr. Victoria Mazes is the Executive Director of the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. Dr. Mazes is a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. She is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine, and she is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She is the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health, and she is the author of a book titled Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her on her website, Victoria Mazes, that's MAIZESMD.com, or follow Victoria on Twitter at VMazes. Let's welcome now on the live line Dr. Mazes. Victoria, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I know one of your areas of interest, and I'm interested in it myself, how health, where we live, how that impacts our health. And a question that comes up, does where one resides impact the health of your brain?
Yes. So there was a very interesting study that was published earlier this week in the Annals of Neurology, and it looked at women who were involved in the Women's Health Initiative Memory Study. And what they found was that in women who had been exposed to these very small air pollution particles, it's PM2.5, particulate matter, it's a tiny, tiny little bit of soot, essentially, that can get in your lungs, that there was an increased risk of aging of the brain.
Hmm. Just a small exposure you're talking about?
Well, they looked at 1,400 women, and these were women who were between 71 and 89, and they did an MRI of their brain back in 2005, and then they repeated it. And what they found was that the women who had lived in areas with higher rates of air pollution over the years had an increased risk of losing the white matter in their brain. And so there was this aging phenomenon of the brain. And we actually also know that when you're exposed to air pollution, you can have a higher risk of a relapse of multiple sclerosis. There's a higher risk of stroke. And these happen even with relatively low levels of exposure.
So the question is then, does living in a polluted environment, and that's very subjective, of course, how polluted is the environment, make you more prone to dementia? I guess that's the overriding question.
That's exactly right. And this study seems to suggest that it does. You know, the subjectivity of our pollution, we actually do measure air pollution levels. And, you know, there were times when, not so much in Tucson, but in other cities, certainly you can think of cities in China as an example, but in U.S. cities too sometimes, where we actually put out public health warnings and suggest that people spend more time indoors and that children not play sports outdoors because the pollution is at a level where it's considered dangerous to the health. But, you know, it looks like there's a continuum where this is what we would consider an environmental neurotoxin.
And the lead author of this particular study that you're referring to at the KECK School of Medicine at the University of Southern California concluded that this tells us that the damage air pollution can impact goes beyond the circulatory system, which is very interesting.
Right. So we know that air pollution can affect our heart health. We know it can increase our risk of asthma. There's some evidence that it can impair fertility. And so, you know, you could also say, well, what do I do about it besides trying to live in the cleanest air place I can live? Well, you know, there are some common sense things to do. For example, it's best not to idle your car. You know, you're going to have all of that exhaust come out and then you're going to inhale it. If you're driving in traffic, you can put the recirculate button on in your car and then you're not going to be bringing the exhaust from the car in front of you into your car.
Mm-hmm.
If you're standing, you know, where there's a bus and the bus is idling, get as far away from the back of that bus, you know, where the exhaust is coming out as possible. In fact, one public health measure that was taken and shown to significantly reduce asthma in kids was a school in the state of Washington where they made it a law that the buses could not idle, that when the buses arrived and parked and waited for the kids to arrive, they had to turn their engines off.
Hmm.
And by that simple intervention, they greatly reduced the amount of air pollution that the kids were exposed to and reduced the amounts of asthma and asthma attacks that the kids had.
Well, some good advice, short of moving over to the Hawaiian Islands to Maui, where the trade winds keep the air so beautifully clean. That is very good advice, especially about that recycle button that most of us have in the car. And a lot of folks never even give it a second thought, but that really is a good thing to keep in mind.
Right, and one other thing about the car, you know, it's so hot now, and of course we get in our cars, and the cars are just, you know, as hot as can be, and we're quick to turn on the air conditioning, but the best thing to do actually would be open the windows first, because while your car is sitting in those super hot temperatures, the materials in the car are actually off-gassing. And what you want to do is you want to open the windows and let it air out, essentially, and then close the windows, put on your air, and if you're driving in traffic, put on that recirculate button so that you're not getting the exhaust from other cars.
Yeah, again, good advice. It's so warm when I go out to get in the car after the show at 1 o'clock. And the materials, you know, cars, the interior of these cars have, as you call it, kind of off materials or the plastics that are in our cars, that is, I'm sure that heat is generating material that does kind of get into the atmosphere.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. We've talked before about proton pump inhibitors. There's a new study, and I believe this one just came out this week, correct? There was some information about that, or earlier this month anyway.
Yes, so an important study. It came out in the journal PLOS-1 earlier this month, and essentially what it showed is that proton pump inhibitors can increase the risk of dying from heart disease. Now, we've known for a while that when people are on a medicine called Plavix, which is a blood thinner that's often prescribed to people who have a high risk of a heart attack or who have already had a heart attack or a stroke to thin their blood, we've known that there was an increased risk with these proton pump inhibitors because it affects the way in which the Plavix is broken down, and so it's not as good a blood thinner. But it turns out even people who are not on Plavix, and this was an interesting study where they mined data, and they actually looked at 2.9 million people's data, and they found that in the general population, there was a twofold increase in association with death from heart disease.
And this is they're referred to as PPIs, the proton pump inhibitors. The usage is so common, isn't it?
Yes, they're over the counter now, and they're over the counter because, you know, they're considered a safe drug. And yet, you know, as we start to learn some of these things about them, we have to really consider, well, you know, are they as safe as we once thought? I mean, we certainly didn't know this. We knew that there were some risks associated with them. For example, there's more community-acquired pneumonia if you're taking one of these medicines. There's more anemia when you're on a proton pump inhibitor. There is more osteoporosis. So we knew that there were some risks that were associated with these proton pump inhibitors, but this is very important new data and an interesting use of what we call big data, where you can look at these very large numbers of people and see that a significant public health risk.
And these PPIs are not to be taken long term, but many people do use them long term, and then that really presents the problem with what is known as a rebound effect.
Right. So in theory, they're prescribed for 4 to 8 weeks to heal things like ulcers or esophagitis and to treat heartburn. And they are super effective. That's why they're so popular. You know, people get on them and find them so, so helpful. And this includes medicines like Prilosec and Prevacid and Protonix. There's a lot of different ones on the market. Nexium is another one. People, you know, get on them. They go, wow, this is miraculous. It's so helpful. Yeah. But then when they try to go off, they have this rebound where they have even more of this heartburn or acid, and they find it impossible. You know, after a day or two of misery, they often say, I'm just going to go right back on. And I've taken care of people who've taken these medicines for 20 years.
Oh, my goodness. They've nonstop for 20 years?
Nonstop, yeah, because as I said, when they try to discontinue, they have such bad acid rebound symptoms that they just jump back on. In fact, there was a study that was published a couple of years ago where they gave these PPIs to healthy young volunteers who had no previous symptoms of heartburn. And when they then had them try to discontinue, about 40% of them had severe reflux when they tried to go off. And so this is a pretty common side effect of just how very difficult it is to discontinue the medication.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. Dr. Victoria Mazes will stick around for another segment, 790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show. Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, where our contributor on health, Dr. Victoria Mazes, is with us on the live line. She is the executive director of the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine and a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. Dr. Mazes, it has been over a year and a half since the Federal Food and Drug Administration proposed measures that would eventually eliminate trans fats. Has there been any progress toward that goal that you have heard about?
Well, yes, we're getting closer and closer to a complete elimination of trans fats, which is really fabulous, because we know from the public health perspective that these increase our risk of heart disease, of diabetes, and we just have to get them out of the food supply. We've already gotten a lot of trans fats out of the food supply, but they're still hidden in there with the term partially hydrogenated oils.
And what are they in? What type of products?
Oh, you know, they're in lots of products. For example, a lot of the packaged foods you're going to get, whether it's a packaged pizza, a frozen pizza, or a pie, it's in microwave popcorn, sometimes in the frosting you're going to put them on, cake. It's something you really do want to look at the labels. If it says partially hydrogenated oil, that means there's trans fat. And the label is allowed to say zero trans fat on it if there's less than 0.5 grams. So it's very confusing to the customer. On the one hand, on the front, it says no trans fats, and then on the back, it says partially hydrogenated oils, and that's because it's got less than 0.5 gram per serving. But, you know, think about it. You buy a bag of chips, you look at the back, it says 4 servings, and, you know, you just ate it in one sitting. So you were thinking that was one serving, and you're getting trans fats.
What will replace the trans fats?
Well, there's other oils that can be used. So, you know, that's kind of the good news. They got popular for several reasons. One of them is that they were very shelf-stable. So manufacturers liked them because they were associated with long shelf lives when they put them into products. But they're also cheap, you know, so they're a lot cheaper than butter or lard, you know, some of the other kinds of fats that have been used in products.
So there had been talk for years of this ban, so I guess this was a pretty important action that the government finally decided that they would go forward with this. And at the initial time of their release back in 2013, they said that by doing this, by eliminating trans fats, we would save thousands. I believe they said 20,000 heart attacks would be prevented and 7,000 deaths from heart attack each year.
Yeah, so you could see from the public health perspective, you know, how important it is. And that is because of the ways in which trans fats raise the bad or the LDL cholesterol, and they lower the good or HDL cholesterol, and they increase the risk of heart disease and stroke and of diabetes. So all of those things are risk factors direct causes of a heart attack and of death. And so from a public health perspective, eliminating these artificial trans fats from the food supply is a major public health victory. By the way, you know, some of these foods we're talking about are also then what make people turn to proton pump inhibitors.
There's the connection.
Yeah. I would love, if we have the time, to talk about some of the ways that from an integrative medicine approach we can help people get off of those proton pump inhibitors.
And there are some very simple ways, and give us a few of them.
Sure. So, you know, the reality is that because they're such powerful acid suppressing medicines, you're going to want to taper off. If you go off cold turkey, you're probably going to be really miserable, and that misery often leads people to go, I just can't do this, and to go back on. So you're going to want to gradually taper, depending on the dose you're on, you know, cutting it in half or even more slowly, taking it once a day instead of twice a day, going to every other day. You can figure out how to taper off of it with your doctor, but I find it often takes 3 to 4 months, so it's a gradual taper. And while you're tapering, you can substitute some other things. So you can substitute other medication, much weaker medication and safer medication like Zantac or Tagamet, which aren't as potent but are going to help you in this interim time when you're weaning off. There are dietary supplements that can also help. One that I often recommend is made from citrus peel. It's called D-limonene. And you take one of those every other day for 20 days, essentially, as you're tapering. Melatonin can reduce acid production. So we often recommend that people take a dose of melatonin at bedtime to help reduce acid production. And then there is deglycyrrhizinated licorice, or DGL, which you can take as needed, you know, the way you take a Tums. You could take a DGL, or you could use Tums. And that can help kind of for, like, right now I'm having this little flare-up, what can I do?
I have personally used DGL. It's very effective, and some say it's just as effective as taking medicine if you have an ulcer. So DGL is effective.
Yes, it just can be very useful. And as I said, if you have the ulcer, it's reasonable to be on the PPI. You just don't want to be on it forever. And so having these other supportive medications and supplements as you're weaning off can make just a tremendous difference in terms of the suffering that you may experience trying to go off of one of these medicines.
When you are eating out, do you often wonder at the restaurant, getting back to the trans fats, if they're eliminating the trans fats in the back in the kitchen?
Well, you know, New York was the first city to require that all restaurants eliminate trans fats, and in fact, they did so, and it didn't turn out to be some, you know, really challenging exercise for them. They were able to find other things that they could substitute in their cooking. And so that's the good news, is that we're not asking the manufacturers to do something that one would consider impossible or, you know, just too difficult. And proof of that is in the experiment that was done in New York City, where trans fats were eliminated.
Dr. Mazes, thank you very much. Folks should go to the Integrative Medicine website. You've got all sorts of great information there on the site, correct?
Yes, we do.
And we will look forward to talking to you in July. Victoria Mazes, thank you very much. Have a great afternoon.
You too. It's a pleasure.
Thanks a lot. Dr. Victoria Mazes with us on the Buckmaster Show, coming up on 1229. Cam Juarez, TUSD governing board member, is waiting in the wings. Mr. Juarez will join me after we take our mid-show break. That's coming up on the midway point of the week, Wednesday on Buckmaster.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Thursday at noon for a newsmaker interview with Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham. Also, Juan Ciscomani, the governor's newly appointed representative for Southern Arizona. Buckmaster is on noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, with our Anywhere in the World live streaming podcast and show archive at buckmastershow.com. That just relaxes me so, hearing that music, kind of the intro to the Christopher Cross song, Sailing. And I always kind of vision like being out on San Diego Bay right now, thinking about that, or maybe somewhere further over into the Pacific, Hawaii or whatever. But anyway, we're in Tucson, Arizona, and maybe the rains will come today. You are listening to the Buckmaster Show. It's about 12:33. Cam Juarez is one of the five members of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. These are volunteer positions. They are not paid, the school board members. Just thought I would put that out there. Rarely does anybody ever talk about that. But anyway, they are volunteer positions. Before I bring in Cam, I want to read from, and I have his permission to do so, his Facebook post that he posted after a very long school board meeting. Cam said he is still dumbfounded by the behavior of some of my, quote, colleagues. Dr. Sanchez does an amazing job as superintendent and public education advocate. This is Mr. Juarez's words. It's a 24/7 type of job, and still, a few folks show up with pitchforks. The evening, last evening, he gave his $17,000 of his salary to educational and sports programs at Davis Bilingual and University High School. He also gave approximately $9,000 to help out Camp Cooper, and yet some people want to call him greedy. In just 4 months, we reluctantly paid $400,000 in DSEG money for legal fees, and nobody blinks an eye. But pay a guy a competitive salary for a ridiculously demanding job, which includes the same DSEG work, if not more, and some folks just lose their minds. The words of Cam Juarez. Cam, how are you?
You know, Bill, and just to kind of clarify on that statement, he has not given the money to Camp Cooper as of yet. He will be issuing a check probably at the next board meeting. But he did commit to giving that bonus that everybody was so upset about. A bonus, I may remind folks, that is mandated by ARS, Arizona Revised Statute, that is part of the pay for performance. So it's all discussed. It's not something that we, as a board majority, decided that we were going to do and, you know, to defy anyone else. But this is just all superintendents are given this.
People are freaking out, Cam, as you know, about this increase, 24% for the superintendent. Mm-hmm. Now, I think it's safe to say, and I think everybody would probably agree, that if you had given, I don't know, 5% raise somewhere, I don't even know, the 24 just jumps out as too much. And I think that's where people just go nuts.
Sure. Let me address that in 2 points. Okay. First and foremost, the powers that be, I mean, whoever that is, maybe the folks that don't like public education and want to remove it from the face of the earth, have pushed this rhetoric that we need to compare the superintendent's salary to the teacher's salary, and the teachers are upset about it. And I think, you know, it's something that teachers should be upset that they're not getting paid enough. But to compare a teacher's salary to a superintendent's salary is not necessarily apples to oranges. They're both pushing for a good public education for our children, but a teacher's salary is relegated to the classroom, to the number of students that they have. It's difficult work, but it's we are the last in the nation, 50th almost, I think, in public education funding. Last night we voted 3-2. The majority voted for this. The two other gentlemen decided they weren't going to support this for a proposed budget for 2015-16 that would, for the first time, increase instructional spending. That's dollars in the classroom up above the 50% mark. And still, my colleagues decided they weren't going to support that. We also voted for teacher pay raises. This is going to be $1,000 a year that we supported in the last 6 months. My colleagues did not support that. They talk about fiscal management and being responsible, but yet they don't vote for that. And then on top of it, they don't vote for this other thing that we all voted, the three of us voted for, to reduce the tax levy for Pima County taxpayers by 20 cents on the dollar. That's because, of course, what the state decided to do was to remove any sort of funding for the districts that go over the 1% cap. And so we do all this. The advocacy that Dr. Sanchez, after 14 plus hours of waiting at the state capitol, he still performed amazingly, so much so that last night the Arizona Capitol Times awarded him Testifier of the Year. For his assistance in helping to retain $64 million in our district's budget. This was money that one of my colleagues decided he wanted to go up there, but he wanted to advocate so that the district would lose $64 million. This is upsetting to me because this is money out of our classrooms. This is money out of our teachers, salaries, whatever the case might be. This is money that's taken away from our students. And Dr. Sanchez, after 14 hours of waiting, testified and was able to save not just those $64 million, but an additional $18 million down the road. So we're looking at about $80 million that he helped to advocate keep in TUSD. Now, you talk about that. You talk about the increased community engagement that we have, the five-year strategic plan. He's committed to sticking around to making sure that comes to fruition. Now, we have a balanced budget. We don't have school closures. We don't have $20 million that they're taking away because of our culturally relevant classes. We're working diligently to make sure that we get to this point with the unitary status plan. And that's challenging all in itself. Most districts around the state do not have this issue with a desegregation case, and especially like ours. On top of that, close to 50,000 students. Are we losing students? I think every school district in the state and across the nation is losing. But still, parents, families across the nation overwhelmingly will put their kids, about 80%, if not more, in public education schools.
Okay. But getting back to the salary, I mean, he gets a competitive salary. I understand this. But I think the point that folks, that's kind of the third rail here, sure, is the percent,
sure,
the 24%.
Sure.
Did you feel, you and the majority board members, that was a number that would keep him?
Look, it's about keeping it, but it's also about paying for the work that's being done. Mm-hmm. We talked about the teacher. It shouldn't be an adversarial situation, but unfortunately, that's what it's been turned into with all this rhetoric. But when you look at the cost of keeping him here, the 24%, of that 24%, he last night he gave $17,000, and then he's committed to giving another approximate, $7,500 after taxes to Camp Cooper. I mean, the environmentalists alone should be happy about that. But, I mean, this is something that was under, again, the university almost funds that in its entirety. It's on our property. But they lost that funding because, again, the governor and the state legislature saw it fit to cut universities.
All right.
So to the point that I'm going to make, his salary, mm-hmm, I think is well deserved. I think he works hard. I think he is it a lot of money? Absolutely. Do we not pay our teachers? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, when we look at that and we look at, I mean, Dr. Stegeman talked about doing the search for another superintendent. The last superintendent search cost us well over $33,000.
Okay.
When you incorporate the cost of relocating, and then there's no guarantee that if we do that, we're going to get an effective superintendent or one that's going to stick around for more than 2 years.
All right. This is a talk back show, and folks have been waiting very patiently, and we've had a bunch of questions on Facebook as well. But sure, Let's go with, first of all, Maria, who has two questions. Go ahead, Maria. Hi, Maria.
And thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
First of all, I'm going to explain that I am calling as a taxpayer, but I'm also a former teacher in TUSD. And I want to thank Mr. Juarez for being in the position that he's in, because at this point, I don't know many people who would like to fix the situation that's going on in TUSD. And to lead to my question is, TUSD has been in the red for a long time. We've had this deficit. I mean, I started and I was getting paid $26,000 in 2001. Jeez. And so I understand that we're still trying to dig ourselves out of this hole. And my first question was, why are so many teachers upset about the superintendent's salary? And I think that you and Mr. Juarez have touched on that. So what I want to follow up with is a little bit more of an explanation on how does his workload compare to the teacher workload, because you focused on the percentage, and I get it that $1,000 is not much, but I believe the superintendent has a lot of work to do, and since I was a teacher, people try to cave in public education and pull their kids out.
All right, Maria, go ahead, Cam.
So, I mean, the workload is as I stated before, it's something that is insurmountable, I mean, by the average person. I mean, this guy, I mean, Dr. Sanchez did not hang the moon. He is not going to be the best superintendent across the nation, but he's a great superintendent. His initiatives, the five-year strategic plan, the steps to success, the partnership he's developed with so many folks and so many entities around the region and around the state and even nationally, to be invited to the White House to talk about, how we deal with student behavior, These are all important things. But to address this particular question, the workload obviously is going to be very different. But, you know, Dr. Sanchez is the type of person that if you ask him a question, he doesn't have to ask staff. He knows the answer. He knows about curriculum. He knows about our DSEG order. He knows about our budget. He knows about every aspect that is, you know, related to that. And you know, to Mrs. Grijalva's point last night, this is not to disparage any other superintendents. You know, good people have sat in that seat, as she stated last night. But in my 2.5 years on the board, the work is just amazing. I had to write down the number of accomplishments that we have, the number of students, the steps to success. I mean, who does that? He went out with the mayor and a bunch of our volunteers, teachers included, and they went out and they talked to about 620 kids. You know, they targeted 800. 283 kids came back.
These are kids that had
dropped out, yeah, correct.
All right, let's go to the next caller is anonymous with a question. Go ahead, Anonymous.
Anonymous.
Hi. Well, actually, my name is Jesus. I want to just preface my question by really just thanking you guys for the work that you guys have done. A lot of people don't realize that the 5-year strategic plan, for it to come to happen, we need continuity there. We need somebody that's actually going to be there in the long term, which many people know. People don't usually stick around. I mean, we talk about 14 hours waiting to testify in a committee. Dr. Sanchez receives the best testifying committee. And it is a 24-hour-a-day job. I mean, giving almost $25K of your salary and bonuses, a lot of people, like you mentioned, want to call them greedy. But I really would ask, would I give my $25,000 of my salary? But I guess my question is, why do you believe that keeping continuity with our current superintendent is important for the long term and the 5-year strategic plan?
If I understand the question correctly, you're asking for why we need to stay on the path that we are. I mean, the continuity with our current superintendent. You know, continuity for continuity's sake is never a good thing. But when you have the number of things that we've been able to achieve in the last 2 years, you know, people talk about, you know, there's that old quote that talks about if you tell a lie enough times, it eventually becomes the truth. And, you know, we have so many people that come to the call of the audience and just pull numbers out of the air and accuse us of doing all these things and that he's this and he's that. But why aren't we talking about the facts? Why aren't we talking about the fact that our schools, that we have a higher number of schools performing at a better letter grade? I mean, letter grades aren't really relevant anymore because the state's done away with that. But our schools are performing better. I mean, and we're going to see those numbers as we continue to move forward. But continuity is I mean, in 147 years, the district's never had a strategic plan. This plan was tied to the superintendent's goals, and that's why we provided that paid for performance bonus. Again, most of that money all of that money has been given out or will be given out. But we need continuity because we have work. We have a lot of projects that are in the works. We have an ERP, an enterprise resource program that's going to essentially computerize our district as opposed to using paper and using these long processes that all kinds of stuff gets lost in the shuffle. That's going to increase our ability to be able to provide reports on our budget immediately, not 2 and 3 months after the fact or 2 or 3 weeks later if people are working 24 hours a day. I think that there's a lot of good things that are happening.
Okay, I'm going to have to take a break here.
Sure, sir.
Mr. Juarez, Cam Juarez is with us, 790-2040 for your questions for him. Please consider the arts and recreation-oriented community of Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico for your next weekend getaway. It's just 3 hours east of Tucson, mile high elevation, mild days, cool nights, so much to do, and so many great places to stay like Gila Hot Springs Resort and Bear Creek Cabins. Find out more about the great things to do and places to stay at southwestnewmexico.org.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amori, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amori on the web at veroamori.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's 12:51 on this midweek edition. Cam Juarez is with us. Mr. Juarez, one of the five members of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. He voted in the majority, the 3-2 majority, to give Dr. H.T. Sanchez a contract extension and a 24% pay hike. Has Dr. Sanchez saved the district money?
He has, you know, and he part of the thing that we've talked about a lot has been his presence at the state capitol. He is not a lobbyist. We have a paid lobbyist, but he is an advocate for public education. When he went up there, he wasn't just arguing for TUSD. He was arguing for public ed. But specifically to TUSD's point, we had $64 million on the table in desegregation funding that we get. And so that funding was on the table to be cut. So he went up there. They called him. They said, you know, you'll be able to testify in the morning. He waited 14 plus hours, and then they finally let him in the 25th hour. They let him testify. And a lot of the folks on, you know, the conservative Republicans said, this is, you know, we've not seen you guys present here the way you are here today. This completely shows that TUSD is shifting in a good direction. He saved us a loss of $64 million in that case. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, he's worked with folks on both sides of the aisle to ensure that bills that are going to impact not only TUSD, but other counties, you know, Pinal, Santa Cruz, to make sure that funding is appropriate when we look at, I mean, this is all tax law and I'll be honest, I'm not a tax expert. I mean, I know what we've been, it's been shared with us in exec. And so a lot of that stuff I can't talk about. But nonetheless, what I understand and what we voted on yesterday was to reduce our tax levy. So in addition to that, there's been various attempts. I mean, $10 million, $15 million for the MAS thing, you know, in years
so
past.
What do you think the total is?
I'd argue that it's upward of $80
million. $80 million.
Yep.
All right.
In losses, potential losses.
Lauren is waiting to speak with Cam Juarez on the live line. Go ahead, Lauren.
Yes, sir. I just briefly wandered by the radio. Did I hear the guest correctly when he said that letter grades were no longer relevant? If that's true, I'd like to know why letter grades would no longer be relevant.
And relevancy is something that's really more associated with what the new governor and what the state legislature is pushing for. I mean, you probably have heard or read in the paper that we are no longer using AIM scores to judge our individual school sites. Now we're moving on to, I mean, there's a conversation about Common Core. There's a conversation about all these different ways of testing and assessing our students. I mean, I agree that students need to be assessed so that we know how to help them and how to increase their educational attainment. But to over-test them, obviously, I don't agree. I don't agree with high-stakes standardized testing. Letter grades were attached to those assessments. It really has a lot to do with a lot of state statutes that are correlated with the individual assessments of the principals, the teachers, all those evaluations. We voted just on that yesterday. So letter grades per se are not going to be something we're going to hold teachers or principals' feet to the fire, the state, I should say. Letter grades aren't, it's not that they're not as relevant, but really it's not something that's going to be, as I understand, something that's going to be punitive. So as far as we go, we're still doing those internal assessments to ensure that our school sites are still progressing. So, I mean, in this last year, our schools all started going up. Not all, but I should say a lot more schools. Schools like Pueblo High School alone, for example, is starting to climb. This is a school that has, for a long time, been deemed, you know, the school that should be shut down and that we have all these problems and it's got all this stuff. This year alone, we had 5 students in our graduating class get Ivy League scholarships. That hadn't happened, and it's starting to happen now. And I think that's a true testament to the work that we're doing there at the site and we're doing at the district as well.
Are you frustrated with the relationship with Mr. Hicks and Mr. Stegeman?
You know, my mom taught me a long time ago that you can only try as hard as you can to have a relationship with someone. And after a while, that relationship is dysfunctional. And, you know, I really tried, and I think my colleagues did as well, and I think to a large extent, Dr. Sanchez has tried to do that as well, is to maintain a relationship. I mean, when I started on the board, I really liked Mr. Hicks, and I wondered why so many people were saying so many negative things about it. But it's the same people that were highly critical of him in the press, at the board meetings, that are now associating with him. So I don't understand that piece. But I still think he's a good man. I think he cares about kids. I think he cares about his family. But I just don't understand his logic. I don't understand how he does things, how he pays attention, how he's in and out of the conversations and still has such a strong opinion. I can't work to satisfy him. I can't work to satisfy Dr. Stegeman. I can only work to ensure that our kids are getting the best opportunity. That's why I signed on. I mean, and the people that are critical of us, I get that because...
You have a lot of enemies out there right now.
Apparently we do.
You do. Know. You really do. I mean, look at Facebook.
Right. You know, and I don't because, yeah. You know, quite frankly, as a person with a disability, and there I go, if anybody wants to call that out, I have it. You know, it is what it is. I learned to kind of... say, you know what, you can have your opinions of me and you can make fun of my arms and whatever, but you know, at the end of the day, I got to worry about me. I got to worry about the things that I'm doing. So am I frustrated that we can't have a decent conversation with them? Am I frustrated that they can't participate in workshops that are going to put some guidelines on our behavior on the dais and in public? I mean, there's a lot of things that I'm frustrated about. I mean, I'm frustrated about using TUC property for political campaigns. I mean, it's just, I'm frustrated about a lot of things, but I can't focus on that. I got to focus on the work that we're doing because we're only a part of the way into the strategic plan. I really want this plan to succeed because I really want our schools to succeed and I want our students. My kid's in kindergarten. And he's got another, I mean, he's in first grade this year. He's got 12 years ahead of him in TUSD. And I want this to be a good school district. So I can't focus on being frustrated. I got to focus on I'm making the work count for something, and that's ultimately what I'm going to do.
Mr. Hicks was all over Facebook last night. He was very upset with the ceremony that went on in the boardroom. He said it was just a big PR deal.
You know, I don't think we would have to do much of that if we didn't have to deal and contend with all of the negativity. You know, the people that come to call the audience, we almost never get any positive remarks. It's almost stuff that people are pulling out of thin air. And you, if you tell a lie enough times, ultimately they feel that it's going to become the truth. The fact is, all you have to do is look at our votes. All you have to do is look at, why wouldn't you support voting to reduce the tax levy on Pima County voters and taxpayers? I don't understand that. And so instead of pointing their fingers at us because they hate us or whatever it is that they do, I mean, people that hated, you know, Mr. Hicks and Dr. Stegeman, assumingly, now hate us. So it's, you know, it's fickle. But like I said, I can't focus on that. I got to focus on the work. I got to focus on making sure that we're keeping good people at the district. I mean, we've lost, you know, Dr. Steve Holmes to our neighboring school district, and I'm glad for them because they need someone of that caliber. But I'm also glad that we are able to do the stuff, the retention and the recruitment. I mean, we're going to have a teacher recruitment fair here pretty soon. And with all the stories out there, and it's all facts, we have a reduction in teachers. People don't want to go into this field anymore because, I mean, they got to put up with, you know, comments like my colleagues, you know, telling people, well, it's not you, it's the process. I think that's so insulting.
All right, Cam Juarez, thank you very much for spending a half an hour with us. Thanks a lot, Cam.
Thank you, Bill, and thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot. For Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw this afternoon. Then Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8, Chris and Joe. The Daily Double with Christy Simone comes on at 8 to 9. I'll be back at 12:04 for our Thursday edition of Buckmaster. I am Bill Buckmaster along with our friend Ed Alexander, and we wish you a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.